I'm sure those of you who watch Kattak Letter regularly know that if you find me beginning an episode with a big smile on my face, it's not because I'm greatly happy about something that's happened. It's because I have the ease and comfort of treading on familiar ground, the ground I'm most familiar with. In cricket, we would say playing on the home wicket or home pitch. So what is home pitch maybe for a cricket player is politics for me. So I am back to talking about mainstream national politics today. And what we are doing is, as usual, we are picking up several straws in this wind. Not one or two, but several. Let me say four to highlight the point I am making. And what are these four straws that we picked up? One, Rajnikant in Tamil Nadu saying that he's no longer making that entry in politics. I think he's made the largest amount of flip-flops in his movies. He does the impossible all the time. He does something that nobody can do. I think in politics, he's made more flip-flops than any of the Lals made in Haryana's checkered political history. Bansilal, Devilal, Bhajanlal, or their descendants also. Why are we picking up Rajnikant as one of the straws in this wind? The reason is that Tamil Nadu is a special challenge in terms of BJP's ambitions, because BJP still does not have any roots there, no expectation of growing there by itself or even with an ally in a very short period of time. So Tamil Nadu is not going to be like, say, Assam. So they need an ally. It can be one of the, can only be one of the major Dravid parties. Now, ADMK is a party which has been generally aligned with BJP. But because BJP thought that they now had a partner in Rajnikant, who also might be a big vote getter, so they were using that possibility of that alliance as leverage with the ADMK and putting pressure on ADMK, asking for a much better bargain for themselves in a coalition deal. That he's not joining politics, this gives a bit of relief to ADMK, who can now negotiate harder with the BJP. The second thing that's happened is, you see a sense of unease emerging in Bihar from the JDU. Now the new JDU president, R.P. Singh, he has said a few things. Nitish Kumar has again repeated that he said that I had said even after the elections that you can make anybody chief minister. I don't particularly am desperate for the job. His party has said, his party has questioned love jihad or so-called anti-love jihad laws and said that these are not right. This is against coalition dharma. The third thing that we see is a tiny party, RLP, in Rajasthan, headed by a man called Hanuman Beniwal. He doesn't count for that much in Rajasthan, but I'll tell you why he counts for some and why he was in the NDA earlier. So he has now quit, saying that he will not be part of the ruling coalition in Delhi because of the farmers' protests against the laws that it has passed. So that is one more out. And then at completely a different level, something else is happening. And that is again chatter coming out of Maharashtra and then some other opposition parties also, but essentially coming in from Maharashtra. If you put your ear to the ground, you will hear these tremors from Maharashtra. And what are these tremors? These are basically little bit of whispers. In fact, now it's a bit more than whispers, that Rahul Gandhi is not good enough, that Congress party is not good enough, that Congress party has too many weaknesses. So Shiv Sena has been attacking Rahul Gandhi and the Congress party now quite consistently. Congress party is their ally. They are in power because of the Congress party. They also, by implication, are endorsing Sharad Pawar more. And we also know that lots of people, key people from NCP, Sharad Pawar's party, and Shiv Sena are reaching out to other opposition parties in the country. Mamata Banerjee is a part of this also, part of this sort of whispering network. And they are reaching out also to the so-called group of 23 in the Congress party, people in the Congress party who feel frustrated by Rahul Gandhi's leadership or non-leadership, those who feel that party is not going anywhere, it lacks direction. So these whispers are building up a case for Sharad Pawar to become the chairman of UPA or chairman of a new opposition alliance, whether UPA or not. You can call it, you may have to call it something else, I don't know. But something that stands counter to NDA, but may not necessarily have the Congress as its core, because Congress for many of these other likely partners either is a rival in their own states, or is seen to be a liability, or is seen to be an unreliable coalition leader or partner, which is a bit odd and ironical because the real picture is a bit different. So if you see an article and a video from my colleague and our political editor DK Singh, he knows more politics than anybody I know in journalism. And a lot of what I tell you is wisdom that I've borrowed from him. So once again, for everything I get wrong, if you get really angry with me on some interpretation or some analytical point, blame him. So I have an alibi. Nevertheless, in this article is said how since 2014, 19 allies have left the BJP in NDA. 19 NDA allies. And on the screen, you will see slowly the list of the 19 run. You can read their names, some of which are familiar with you, to you. Some you may find unfamiliar and some may find odd, as if you might think they are typing mistakes or what is this name, what party is this. So think of a party, for example, like Suheldev Bhartiya Samaj Party, SBSP. Now, I'm quite sure that most people outside of Uttar Pradesh and definitely outside of the Hindi heartland would not even know such a party exists. In fact, a lot of you might think, oh, Suheldev, it sounds familiar. And it sounds familiar because that is the name of the book, or that is the character from history, from our 11th century history, that author Amish Tripathi has featured in one of his latest books. So Suheldev was this ruler in eastern UP, he says in this book, who apparently fought Ghazni's invading forces in the 11th century and defeated them. Now, there is a party also in his name that was also BJP's ally. So 19 of these parties, once again, see the list, and these parties are from all over the country. There is Revolutionary Socialist Party of Kerala Bolshevik, partner of BJP. There is Maru Malarachi Dravid Munetra Kadgam, MDMK in Tamil Nadu. There is DMDK Desiya Murpokku Dravida Kadgam in Tamil Nadu. That's PMK Patani Makkal Kachi. Haryana Janit Congress, which was set up by Bhajan Lal's son Kuldeep Bishnoi in Haryana. He joined NDA, then he left. Then he joined Mercy's party with the BJP. So all these parties are among the 19 who joined the BJP in NDA and have left. Now, why is it happening? So as DK explained, this is happening because BJP thinks it doesn't need them anymore. And BJP, and something I have written also in an earlier National Interest, and I'll share the article with you, where we said that BJP now thinks that it has, given the fact that Modi is such a popular leader, it has the strength now to grow into everybody's turf. So basically, use a partner and then grow into the partner's turf. Now, when BJP builds these alliances, BJP has done it very scientifically. Now, Uttar Pradesh, the BJP knew that they had a challenge from caste politics, that they were Yadavs and Muslims committed on one side, they were Dalits, especially the Jatavs, and a bunch of Muslims with Mayawati, and as long as that happened, and as long as one of them got a bulk of the Muslim vote, it was tough for BJP to break free. So what BJP did was, it reached out to many other smaller sections of other backward castes, which may be small in the big picture of Uttar Pradesh, but which are very powerful in their own areas. So they can make a crucial difference in a few seats. They may not make such a big difference in the entire state, but they salami slice the state in terms of their politics and conquered the state by salami slicing its caste base. So how did that happen? So that's how this Suheldev party came in. Because Suheldev, the ruler, was from the Rajbhar caste. It's another backward caste, OBC. Now Rajbhars, they are not that much if you take them as a percentage of Uttar Pradesh, but in eastern UP, they are 17 to 18%. Eastern UP, very crucial, lots of seats. If you can have this chunk of 17-18% on your side, then it gives you a big amount of leverage there. The other big strong caste group in eastern UP and some other parts of UP also, in fact they are more spread out, is the Nishads. Nishads also a backward caste. Nishad, for simplicity, I can tell you, if you are sort of, if you have the knowledge of Mahabharata, and almost everybody has this much knowledge of Mahabharata, then Eklavya of Mahabharata, who gifted his right thumb to Dronacharya in Guru Dakshina, he was from the Nishad caste, the Nishad community. But if you read more of the modern stuff, then Phulan Devi was also from the Nishad community. So they are a very well spread out community. So once again, I will tell you what BJP did to get the Nishad vote with them. In fact, Sadhvi Niranjan Jyoti, who occasionally makes controversial statements, she's the one who made that statement in the earlier Delhi election about how Ramzadas will vote for the BJP and those who don't vote for BJP will be Ramzadas. She's a Nishad leader also. So BJP gets these people, gets them in, gets that vote base, and then moves into their territory. So see the examples of this. The Suhail Dev party, for example, joined the BJP. They continued to be in the NDA, continued to be in the NDA. The founder of the party, Om Prakash Rajbhar, was a minister in Yogi Adityanath's UP cabinet. On 19th of May 2019, when the last round of voting in the elections took place, Lok Sabha elections took place, Yogi Adityanath dropped him from his cabinet because use and discard. So he got discarded. He's now a rebel. He's left the NDA. He's trying to find another alliance with some other parties, including Shivpal Yadav, that is Akhilesh Yadav's uncle, MIM, Oasis party, and some of the others, because he's no longer needed. Similarly, in Uttar Pradesh, you have Apna Dal. Apna Dal is a party of the Kurmis, very very numerous around Varanasi and those districts. So very powerful, because that vote tips the balance. So they became members of NDA. Then in the course of time, as they felt they were not getting their due, because, you know, use and throw, so NDA did not have that much use for them. Apna Dal split. So the mother went on one side and set up a rival party. The daughter's faction continues to be part of the NDA, but because her party has got weakened and her contribution has got weakened, and BJP has grown in that area because Modi has got re-elected twice from Varanasi now, they don't need her. So she's no longer a minister. Earlier, Anupriya Patel was a minister. Now she's no longer a minister. And I think it might be a matter of time before she also goes the way her mother has gone. So this is a trend which has now picked up, and this is a trend to which national politics is now reacting. So the trends that, so the four straws in the wind that we mentioned to you are all being blown up in the political winds by this politics or this approach of the BJP. Now, a few key and interesting points emerge from this. One, we can say that because now BJP shows that it doesn't care for these coalition partners, it also cares less and less for what was called the coalition dharma, because it is growing into its partners' territories. In Bihar, for example, where you see this coalition dharma changing in a most radical manner, the BJP was the junior partner. Now it's by far the senior partner. And to stay in power, Nitish needs the BJP. BJP no longer needs Nitish to come to power, because they've got power, they got the numbers. When they came in, they were outsiders in Bihar. Similarly, something very similar happened in Maharashtra. BJP was a junior partner. They were piggyback riding on Shiv Sena. In the course of time, they moved into Shiv Sena's space. And Shiv Sena then realized that BJP was after the same voter base, which is the Hindutva voter base. So Uddhav Thackeray and his people have sometimes said in their more honest moments that their father, late Balasaheb Thackeray, actually made a mistake by switching from Maharashtravad to Hinduvad. Because on Hinduvad, he can be challenged by someone like Modi, because who can be more Hinduvadi than Narendra Modi? But Narendra Modi can't be as Maharashtravadi as the Shiv Sena or as Balasaheb Thackeray or Balasaheb Thackeray's family. So you can see the larger reason. Shiv Sena did not pull away from the BJP because of a sense of pique or just because they wanted power now. Of course, who complains about getting power? But they also pulled away because they realized that election after election, BJP's vote share was increasing, they was coming lesser. Now, the smaller line that had been drawn parallel to the big line called Shiv Sena, that line was now lengthening and it was becoming longer than the Shiv Sena. So they pulled away at that point. It was a strategic act as much as an act for immediate power. And that is the challenge now BJP's allies are facing. So one key point that emerges is that BJP's Modi Amit Shah BJP's coalition dharma is very different from Vajpayee's coalition dharma. And you can understand why. Because Vajpayee needed coalition partners to survive. Modi does not need them. Modi's coalition partners now need him and his party to survive. So it's politics. The equation is reversed. Don't make any value judgments about it. When you were needed, you were important. When we are needed, we are important. That's how this equation works. So Vajpayee was in fact so open-minded to coalition partners that he even had one coalition partner represented in his cabinet committee on security, George Fernandez as defense minister. This NDA has seen no need to do anything like that. Then Vajpayee was also a leader in a coalition era when BJP used to be untouchable for most parties in India. So coalitions were built around pro-BJP, anti-BJP. Very few parties were pro-BJP. In fact, the reality was that any party which saw any chance of getting the Muslim vote did not want to align with the BJP. That has completely changed. Now you have a situation where BJP is no longer unwanted. More and more parties want to partner the BJP or be friends with the BJP. It's in fact the Congress which is finding it more challenging to have partners. So once again, this equation has changed. Number three, Vajpayee and Advani's BJP had to align with regional parties to try and expand its base in the states. For example, they had no base then, say, in Andhra. Andhra then used to be combined in Andhra, West Bengal, Odisha, etc., etc., Bihar. So they were combining with parties, Punjab, they were combining with these parties to expand their base. But their success was limited. They didn't last long enough. And second, whatever it was, Vajpayee's charisma nationally was respected, but his charisma was not at the mass level as Modi's is. In fact, not even a fraction of that. Now, BJP is able to expand to these areas anyway, so it does not need regional parties to legitimize them in their states. In fact, they can use regional parties. You see those step ladders that small aircraft use, a step ladder with three steps. So you get onto those steps, climb onto the plane, and what happens? Then the pilot pulls back that ladder and puts it aside in the plane. When you land, it's again taken out and you use it to step down. So that is use and fold. So that's how the BJP can now afford to use its regional party allies in the NDA. Once it climbs up, then because it has the resources and it has a big, powerful leader and big appeal of Narendra Modi, it then grows into their space. Then what this does is it creates challenges for survival for the allies. Because BJP is in constant expansion mode, so smaller parties now feel threatened. In Maharashtra, we saw Shiv Sena go away. The smaller parties that you see now in Bihar, JDU is feeling threatened. And Hanuman Beniwal's party in Rajasthan, although that has a slightly more complex politics, I will tell you in the passing in a minute. Or Shiromani Akali Dal, who they can't facilitate BJP's expansion because their voter base is devout Sikh. So they will vote for an ally of the BJP, but they will not vote for the BJP because BJP is seen to have a Hindu voter base in Punjab. So Akalis did not see much use in that, particularly when they were not given enough importance in Delhi in the national coalition, something that Vajpayee would never do. But once again, Modi and Shah and BJP under them does not see the need to defer to the Akalis to the extent that Advani and Vajpayee did. And then Congress today is a non-player, because for an anti-BJP, anti-NDA, NDA is now a misnomer, NDA is BJP, it's exactly the same. So now to build an anti-BJP coalition, you need a core, you need a central pylon on which this building rests, a central pillar. That at this point can only be the Congress party, but the Congress party itself is a diminishing party. Election after election, in fact, Shamika Ravi of Brookings put out some graphics yesterday showing how the BJP's vote share is going up and Congress is declining progressively. And I'll share these with you and thank Shamika for these. Other opposition parties also see this. So who wants to be a loser? And they don't see in the Congress party somebody right now who can rally the troops, all these defeated troops and troops who face imminent defeat now, or all these regional commanders who feel imminent defeat now. They don't see that inspirational leadership, so they are looking for somebody else. And that is the reason, the fourth straw that we picked up, that is the reason this new thought process is building around Sharad Pawar. Because people know he is astute, he's always 24/7 political player. Remember those visuals of him delivering a speech in the elections, Evil Wine, it was pouring, a man nearly 80 years old, who's had bad cancer, not once, but twice. Two major surgeries for cancer of the mouth. At this age, a small party in one state, but with a network all over and with right political instincts. Also, given his age, he just turned 80, and given his health history, and given also the way Indian politics is going, other parties do not see him as a threat, because having dealt with a much stronger partner now with BJP, they are all chastened or sobered or once bitten, twice shy, whatever you may want to call it, or doodh ka jala, chhach ko phook phook kar peeta hai. You use the metaphor you want. But right now, that is what is causing this big stir in national politics. And you can go back to so many. Look at Assam Gan Parishad. It joined the BJP. BJP was a complete outsider in Assam. It had no presence. Assam Gan Parishad was a dominant party. BJP moved in. In the course of time, AGP's top leaders, the best leaders and the most prominent leaders shifted to the BJP, because BJP goes and vacuum cleans talent from other parties, including from its allies parties. So one of the things that JDU is not upset about is that in a place like Arunachal Pradesh, its stakes are so low. BJP already has a strength of 41 or 42, depending on how you count, in a house of 60. Doesn't need more people. But BJP has gone ahead and got 6 of JDU's MLAs in tiny Arunachal, where it already has 2/3 majority, to defect to it. Now, that is like saying, can you, if you have somebody as your ally, and at the same time, you feel free to kick the door of his house open and go and rob stuff from his house and say you put up with it because I am your ally, then it causes resentment. So that is what a lot of these parties are now feeling, and that's how the equation has changed. Now, I know I told you, I'll mention this Hanuman Beniwal story in the passing a little bit. Now, his story is also about Jat politics in the north, and on that, and that deserves a separate full Kat Tak letter at some point of time. Now, if you see the Jat vote in the north, that's where it matters, then there are states UP, Rajasthan, Haryana and Punjab. All four have sizable Jat vote. Now, Punjab is a bit different because Punjab's Jats are Jat 6. And the bulk of that vote goes to the Akali Dal. BJP does not really have a leader there. Although they get somebody elected from Gurdaspur, now they've got Dharmendra's son elected, who's a Jat Singh. They had Vinod Khanna earlier. Now, Haryana's Jats are Hindus. UP's Jats, Western UP's Jats are Hindus. And Rajasthan's Jats are Hindus. What we don't realize is, when we think Jats, we think of Haryana, Western UP, because we know Chaudhary Charan Singh, Sir Chotu Ram, Bansilal, Devilal, etc. But we don't think Rajasthan for some reason. But we miss the point that Jats are among the largest caste groups in Rajasthan. In fact, there are more Jat voters in Rajasthan than Rajput voters. So for BJP to grow in the Hindi heartland, they wanted the Jat vote. And they did many things for it. That's how they got Dara Singh to be the chief of Jat Mahasabha. Then Dharmendra, they projected Dharmendra's wife, Hema Malini, as a Jat Bahu. And that's how she gets elected in Mathura, which is in the Jat heartland. So they got Hanuman Beniwal's tiny party with them in NDA in Rajasthan just because they wanted to consolidate the Jat vote in Rajasthan, because whoever gets a Jat vote in Rajasthan rules that state. So acquisition of this partner, Beniwal, was towards that quest. At this point, BJP does not need him in the state election. At this point, BJP knows it can sweep Lok Sabha election there just on Modi's charm. So he's not needed. And he's also realized that he's been used and he's now, he's going to be discarded. So before he's discarded, why not walk off and get some brownie points in the process? So that is the Hanuman Beniwal story. But that story also tells you the larger story of how India's national politics has now transformed.